Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, when you think of a leader, does quietness come to mind? Can you lead from silence? My next guest thinks quietness is a great strength. It's great to welcome Sissel Heiberg, whose book, Quiet Leader, is out now. Sissel, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Great to have be here. Thank you.
Now, tell me about quiet leadership. Firstly, how do you define it?
Well, quiet leadership is actually just about getting out there the message that the people you might not normally think of as leaders actually have an awful lot of strengths. And they're the strengths that we tend to think of as wanting leaders. So someone who's able to listen to what's really being said, someone who's able to think through a decision before jumping in. And so, it's really just about leadership in a slightly different way.
I'm told 50% of us are introverts. Does that de facto mean the other half are extroverts? Is that basically the split, or are there other qualities that need to go in there?
That's an excellent question, because introversion is so misunderstood, but it's really just about how you recharge, like what gives you energy. So if you're on the extrovert side of the spectrum, then you recharge with other people, you get energy for that. It kind of feels like a bit of a high. But if you're an introvert, that could be too much and you prefer to recharge on your own. And it's also about whether you think before you speak, or if you just prefer to think things through as you're talking. And so, as with all of these things, because there are different dimensions, nothing's ever either or. So in some situations, we might find, you know, if I'm around a group of people and I know them really well, or if it's a group of, say, you know, I've got a personal threshold, I can be comfortable in a group of about 20 people, I might look like an extrovert in that scenario. Yeah.
But am I right in saying, Sissel, that there's a bias against introverts when it comes to leadership, because the quiet guy or girl isn't seen as the leader?
I think that's true, yeah. And from all of the interviews that I had and the research that I did for the Quiet Leader book, it really shows me that we still have this tendency to think of, you know, the person who takes immediate action. If you go in and you make a decision, it doesn't matter if it's the right or the wrong decision, but we still see that kind of action as leadership behavior. Whereas actually, in a really complex world, perhaps that's not the best thing to do for your business. Maybe it's better to step back and think before you make that decision. So we still definitely have this bias from, you know, way back, olden days of really seeing, you know, the people who are really decisive and feel like they have got all the answers and kind of go, yes, I know this, you know, and all guns blazing, that is leadership. But actually, in 2024, that's not the kind of leadership we need necessarily. We need a balance. We need both.
Yeah, you, it's this old adage of any action being better than none.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You also talk about a bias towards mental shortcuts. And there's an example in the book about a lady who comes to a meeting with wet hair.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe walk us through that. Everybody then, you know, makes a judgment about that person.
Yeah, and we do this all the time. And we have this built in for very good reason, because there's so many things we could make decisions about. We'd just be exhausted before we've even left the door in the house in the morning. So, that example that you mentioned is we make these snap judgments. So if you see someone with wet hair, you know, in a meeting, you're automatically going, because you notice it, no one needs to, you know, draw attention to it. You see it because, you know, you're observing everything that's going on around you all the time. And we infer things based on what we see. So someone with wet hair, that might mean in our minds that they're in a rush this morning.
They were late for the bus.
Exactly. Yeah. They were late. Yeah. And therefore, we then kind of snowball that into thinking, you know, well, they're not very good at planning. What does that mean for this project we're working on together? And so on and so on. And over time, that kind of builds up. And so with introversion, because we don't see all the activity that goes on for the introvert, because it's a lot of that is internal, that reflection, the thinking, weighing up pros and cons, seeing, you know, that little raised eyebrow that someone just did, like all of that is not necessarily something that's very immediately obvious to others.
Yeah. So then, how do we then harness the qualities, the good qualities of an introvert, being a good listener, open to ideas? They also say reflect deeply. How do you get the best out of that type of person and use those attributes and skills when it comes to leadership?
So I think there's a couple of things there. So if you have introverts in your team, I think step one is to really look at yourself and go, you know, what is it that I'm making assumptions about here in their kind of potential to become a leader themselves? And the beauty of it is that we all have the potential to flex our behaviors. So I think the starting point is to really look at and think about, what kind of leader do I want to be? And what kind of quiet leader behaviors do I think that I should perhaps start to adopt in certain situations? So that kind of self-awareness and thinking about what are my current strengths? Who do I want to be? I think is a great starting point for us all. And then, you know, work from there.
And, you know, are introverts somewhat disadvantaged in a work environment? Because if you're not inclined to put yourself forward, you know, the way the dynamics of a workplace go, if you don't put up your hand and say, I'm available for promotion or I want to do this big project, you're liable to give it, or is it not probable that it goes to the loudest person in the room in some scenarios?
Yeah, so I think if you're responsible for promotion in your team, then you have a duty to those individuals to really check your own assumptions that you're making and know the people's, you know, the performance of those individuals. Of course, it's a lot harder if you're not the manager, but you're still involved in the promotion process. And organizations I've been in, that's always a team effort. And so it becomes up to the manager to kind of advocate on behalf of the individual in those sessions. But yes, you're absolutely right that we all need to take responsibility for our own careers. So this is not a carte blanche for introverts to just go, you know, hands up, I'm an introvert, accept me or not. We all need to take that and own it. But I think there's room for us all to think about, you know, what does this contribution mean? And in a promotion process, if you've not said anything about your contributions, then obviously that, you know, is on you. But I think that's an important point to raise, that an introvert or a quiet leader isn't a silent leader. It's just that they have a preference for reflecting before speaking and might be a bit more intentional about it. But yeah. Absolutely, that doesn't take you away from, you know, never speaking. That's not quiet leadership.
And does it bother you, Cecile, when you read other leadership books? Many of them talk about fixing introversion, like they almost see it as a problem.
Yeah, that is, it is frustrating. And part of the reason for writing the book, Bobby, to be honest, was because I've seen so many good people overlooked over the years or misunderstood, you know, having to work extra hard. And if you're in an environment where your behaviors aren't appreciated or valued, then that's obviously stressful. It takes energy. You're never going to perform at your best in those kinds of work cultures. So, yeah, I wanted to get out there that actually there is another way of looking at the behaviors of introverts. And all of this is stemming from, you know, the fact that we're not looking at the introvert contribution in the way that perhaps we ought to.
Yeah. And finally, tell us why you wrote the book. Cecile, what brought you on this journey? What was it in your own career that brought introversion to the fore, and that you thought it so important that you should write a book about it?
Yeah, as I say, I think it was partly from seeing other good people being overlooked. I've been really lucky in my career that I've been, I guess, to my own detriment sometimes, been kind of pushing and masking my introvert traits, and that's draining. And so I didn't want other people coming up in their careers, or, you know, at whatever stage of their career they're at, to really go through that same and kind of start at a different point than I was, because there's been lots of trial and error over the course of my career to figure out my leadership style, what I'm comfortable with, and to really share the message so that other people, if they're an extrovert or introvert, can really elevate their leadership and just make us all better, because we need different type of leaders for different scenarios. And that's what I want to get across.
All right. It's a great book and it comes from a completely different angle. It's called Quiet Leader. The author is Cecile Heiberg. Cecile, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.